You are listening to Vanguard Unpacked, a podcast produced by Vanguard Preparatory School in Dallas, Texas. Our purpose is to provide parents and caregivers with tools and strategies to strengthen relationships with their children and each other. Vanguard is a proud member of the Mensa Education Group.
I am Patty Pickering, the head of school, and I'm here with Becky Hodnett, our principal of admissions and clinical services, and Kevin Goodnight, our director of family services. Welcome back, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So glad to be here, Patty Pickering.
Okay, well, we are going to jump into another topic today that we think might be helpful to our Vanguard families, one of my favorite topics on behavior shaping. And so Mr. Goodnight's going to start us off, and we'll just kind of jump in when we have something to add, Mr. Goodnight.
All right. Thanks. So I'm Kevin Goodnight, Director of Family Services, and I also do staff training here at the school. So one of my favorite subjects to talk to teachers and to families about is behavior shaping. And so a lot of people have a concept of what behavior shaping is, and it's like, I want to mold you to do the thing I want you to do. But really, we're trying to teach a skill here.
That would be so nice, Goodnight.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I would love to be able to do that.
If we can.
But that's not what we're going to talk about
it's
today.
Not.
Okay.
And so what we want to think about as parents and teachers and clinicians is skill acquisition. I want to teach a kid a skill that they can use. And so behavior shaping is part of that. And so, you know, one of the things that we hear around the school a lot from families is toughest time at the home is transition time. So that's usually getting ready for bed, going to bed, getting everything settled. And then in the morning, getting up, getting everyone out the door. That's where we hear all the problems coming to light. That's where everything happens. And so many times what parents do and what I do is I get really hyper-focused on one thing. So you have to brush your teeth. I'm putting a flag in the ground. This is going to happen. We will not leave the house until you brush your teeth. And we're willing to kind of go to war over that. And so there will be a war if you're willing to go to war over
that. And you will lose.
And you will always lose. The kids always win that. We call it a power struggle. So with behavior shaping, there's a couple of things that we want to think about. And the first thing is we want to talk about doing a little bit of momentum. Like let's get some things moving here in the direction of the behavior that we're looking for. So let's just take teeth brushing. And that happens in the evening and in the morning. In the morning is where I hear most of the fights happen about teeth brushing. But we want to shape their behavior into that. And so if they're doing something that's close to brushing their teeth, that's great. And so how would this look? It would look like this. So your kid gets up in the morning, and they do an okay job of getting out of bed. And so we really appreciate that for them. But they will avoid at all cost going in that bathroom and brushing their teeth. There's 1,000 different things that are going to come up. Can I do this? Can I do this? I got to do this. I got to do that. And so what we want to do is get them in the bathroom. That's the first thing. Thanks for getting in there and getting the toothbrush and the toothpaste out. If they do that and then it's time to go, pat them on the back for getting the toothbrush and the toothpaste out. Now, that sounds completely counterintuitive. And it sounds like crazy talk, but this is the way it sounds. Hey, you know what? You did a really good job of getting in the bathroom and you got your toothbrush out and your toothpaste out. And then it was time to go. And so you really didn't get to brush your teeth. Tomorrow, I'd like to see you get some toothpaste on that toothbrush. And they may or may not get it in their mouth. But what we're doing is we're building momentum. Like, hey, thanks for doing this step. Do you think you could do the next step and get the toothpaste on there? And we're praising them for what they are doing, because if we're constantly beating them over the head or redirecting them and getting big emotion around not getting the toothbrush in your mouth and actually brushing, it's not going to happen.
And we have parents that push back on this because they feel like you're praising them for not doing what they asked you to do.
That's right.
The first time.
That's right.
And so talk about the wall.
And so the expectation of when I give my kid a direction is that they are going to do it. And many times they do. But when we hit the wall of I'm not going to do this, the question that we have to ask ourselves and ask parents is, how's that working for you? And most of the time it's not working well. And so Are you willing to do something different? Well, yes. When something's not working, people are willing to do something different. And so here's the something different. And to set it up, right, we have to set it up with parents. This is going to feel really counterintuitive. It's going to feel crazy to tell your kid, good job for getting in the bathroom and at least getting your toothpaste and your toothbrush out. That feels like crazy talk, but try it. And it's a slow move, but I'm telling you it works because you're building up momentum with this behavior that you're wanting to happen. And kids are not motivated to do this behavior, right? It's not something that they get any kind of payoff from. And so we're building in some very specific praise around this. We don't want to throw a party. We don't want to promise a trip to Six Flags for brushing teeth because it's an expected behavior. But we do want to praise them for doing the steps that they are doing. And so we build on that. It's like tying shoes or learning how to ride a bike. You don't do it all at once. It's all done in steps. And so with toothbrushing, you know, what happens is you praise them for doing the behavior that's close to brushing teeth, and eventually they're brushing their teeth, and you're praising that. And then what you're looking for is that they maybe do it half the time, you know, for a couple of weeks. And then we're going to notch that up, and it sounds like this. You know what I've noticed is that almost every day this week, you've gotten in the bathroom and you've brushed your teeth before we've gotten in the car. And that's amazing. I can't believe you're doing that. Wow. Do you think you could add one more day to that? You know?
Yeah.
And that feels really good. And that's a very, we call that positive reward. We're giving them something. Now, another step that can happen with this is that if they can't brush their teeth at home, then they get to brush their teeth at school. And that's kind of an aversive. And we do that sometimes because it's no fun to brush your teeth at school. And it's less fun to do it at school than it is at home. And then we start, you know, shaping their behavior behind that. Right, Becky?
Yeah. I mean, that's just where we're here to support our families. Right. And step in. When they need it. You know, good night. I'm sitting here thinking, I have a 16-year-old at home, and I'm thinking, I cannot, the clothes on the floor in the bathroom are about to be my undoing, okay? And I went to school. I have a degree in some of this stuff, right? and yet it is about to be my undoing. So, you know, what you're saying is very helpful to me, because what I realize I'm doing is I'm asking, you know, I'm like, Drew, come on, please put your clothes in the dirty clothes hamper. Well, then he might do that for a couple of days in a row. But then instead of recognizing and rewarding that, what I'm doing is I'm looking in his room and it's a mess too, and he hasn't taken care of that. So I haven't given that thank you, praise, reinforcement, right, mm-hmm. for doing the thing that I was deciding to tackle, mm-hmm. because we can't tackle everything all at once, right?
Right.
So now he's like, you know, you're riding my butt, excuse my language, you know, like I'm putting my bathroom clothes at least in the dirty clothes, stay out of my room, you know, like, and I mean, so even though in my head I know these things, it is so hard.
Yes.
It is so hard. And sometimes I feel disingenuous when I have to go in there and say, man, buddy, thanks for putting your clothes in the dirty hamper and not leaving them on the floor, you know? Where in my head, my thought bubble is, are you kidding me? You are 16
yes.
years old.
Yes.
You drive a car and you can't remember to get your clothes. I mean, literally 5 feet, you know? So, so part of it, I guess part of my question is, even if it doesn't feel completely authentic in the fact that I am grateful that he's picking his clothes up, I still need to give the words, right?
Yeah, and we have to remember, like, what's the skill I'm wanting to teach right now? Yeah. What is this? And one of the things that I would often say to Grant, I would look at him and go, how old are you? And he would go, I'm 12. And I'm like, okay, you're acting like a 12-year-old. And so all this is in context, right? And so we want to make sure that you know, I'm an adult. I put my stuff in the – it's very helpful to me. It makes me feel very peaceful for my stuff to get in the laundry basket. Mm-hmm. It's not – and Drew and Grant are very similar in that way. It does not mean anything to him to step on clothes and walk right over them and have a plate, a bowl, and a remote control in his bed. And so
– they don't even see it.
Right. And so – but I do have to keep this in context, and I do want to teach that – you're in an environment where the expectation is this, and you can do it. And this is how you can do it. And so I do sometimes have to step back, and we have to step back and go, okay, this is not about me. It's uncomfortable. It feels insane to me to have to pat someone on the back for getting their clothes out of the bathroom and into the laundry ramp. But it will work. So if I want a behavior to increase, this is behavior 101. If I want a behavior to increase, I want to reinforce that behavior with something positive. And so that could be verbal praise. That can be a pat on the back. That can be like a note that says, I see you and you're doing the thing that I'm asking you to do. I knew you could do it.
And I want to come back to something you said, though. You said, you know, it's not like you want to take them to Six Flags for brushing their teeth.
That's right.
Talk about, because we get this question from parents, you want to reward the behavior, validate the behavior, but you don't want to. Why wouldn't I want to say, if you brush your teeth for a month, I'm going to take you to Six Flags?
Okay, because it doesn't match. That's not really how the world works. And so what we're teaching them is, if I do this expected behavior, then I'm going to get this great big thing. And that great big thing is an outside deal. What we want to build in is internal reinforcement, where they're going, wow, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I'm a 12-year-old, because I'm a 10-year-old, because I'm a 16-year-old. This is the thing that I'm supposed to be doing. And so we want to build that internally. If we start building these big external reinforcers out here, that is so hard to pull back out of, because now we've taught that when I do these things, I get this thing.
When I do these things that are just expected of a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, there's going to be some big external reward, and that's just not real life.
That's right, and it doesn't match. And so we're wanting to teach a skill here, skill acquisition, is that, you know, this is what 16-year-olds do. My friends do it. I do it, and I'm maturing. And so we want to build this internally if we can. And sometimes, you know, we have to reset our expectations as parents, because I am very I like things to be in order. I like things to be where they belong and stuff like that. Well, I'll project that out on my kids, and that's not their world. And so I got to be real careful that I'm not throwing my stuff out on them. And when they're doing it at what I would consider maybe 75%, that may be 100% for them. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to go, okay, you know what? We're thumbs up. Let's move on from this thing. Let's don't stay stuck on it. They're their own reference point. Like, I can't be my reference point for how clean my 16-year-old's room is going to be, because those are two different animals. And so I have to be uncomfortable, and I have to get okay with some stuff and let some stuff go in order for the house, the school, for whatever to flow.
Right. Because you end up, your whole relationship, I can see become really negative, and really you're constantly battling this thing, and it's taking away the connection because they're not getting it 100% of the time.
Right.
Do you guys see that, I would imagine, at the school with kids and parents, where maybe the expectation is, because we're not realizing.
We see that because, like, we can just take chores in the classroom. Like, we will have kids that like to vacuum. And we see kids literally fight over who's going to get to vacuum the room. And then a parent hears about that, and they're like, are you kidding me right now? They don't even know where the vacuum is in the house. If I brought that thing out, it would be a fight. Why does that work in the classroom? Because it is reinforced, and there are pats on the back. It's seen as a good thing to vacuum the room. And so teachers don't get in battles with kids over this. Not every kid likes to do it, but, you know, if it's something that they like to do, you don't have to force them to do it. But every now and then, you are going to have to do things that you don't want to do. But we're not going to plant a flag and go to war over this, because it's going to ruin future opportunities. So when I'm reinforcing a behavior, brushing teeth, putting clothes in the laundry today, what I'm doing is increasing the odds or the chances that 2 or 3 days down the road, it's going to happen again. Because I'm reinforcing it. Now, if I'm kicking somebody in the butt and going, you never put your clothes in the laundry basket, I've asked you 1,000 times to do this, when are you going to learn? That's not increasing my future odds of making that happen again. what's going to happen is they're going to try to maybe hide it, or they're going to do something completely different, or there's something unexpected that's going to happen.
What about a negative? I'm laughing because we're dealing with this with Ben right now. He had food in his room, constantly taking food in his room. We got on to him about it, and now he hides it. And he's just very creative at where he sticks all the bowls and, you know, junk, and we've got mold growing. And so, I mean, I'm like you, Becky. I'm like, okay, I have a degree in this. Yes. I work with kids all day, every day. What am I doing wrong here? And I'm not sure I'd know even now as I'm thinking about it. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And I know where I was headed with that. We're thinking about consequences. He's getting ready to drive. And so I've said to him, I said, buddy, you know, it's clear that you know you're doing this. Because before it was, oh, I forgot.
That's right.
Well, you didn't forget that you shoved that bowl under a foot of dirty clothes 2 weeks ago. That was very intentional. And he's like, right. You can tell, oops, I'm caught. But we know you're doing this. So now this is going to look a little different. Like, if we catch you with this again, you're not going to drive. It's going to bump out when you get to drive for another week. Is that appropriate? Like,
yes.
A consequence?
So we're talking love and logic stuff now.
Okay.
And that would be the question that I would ask you as a parent. So what's the consequence for a dirty bowl being shoved under a pile of clothes and being allowed to mold? What are the consequences for Ben? Right? Are there any consequences for him? Because if there's no consequence, there's no chance of behavior shaping.
Okay, but how is that different than the toothbrush? Because you wouldn't, in that scenario, you're not punishing the kid for not brushing his teeth.
And so there's going to be a consequence for teeth brushing too if they eventually don't do it. And
okay.
So you've done the setup. You guys have talked about this is not an acceptable behavior. I know that. You've kind of set this thing up. You've done the front end work that says this is how it looks. We're going to model this for you. We're going to show you what this looks like. And you've done that piece. So if the behavior's still not happening, then you're going to kind of shift into another gear.
Phase two.
And maybe that's another topic.
And this is a completely other topic, but it is about consequences. And so now if you're choosing not to do this behavior that we've shaped up with you and we know that you can do, now natural consequences are going to start kicking in. And so that's a whole nother talk that we can get into.
We can talk about that forever.
So. All right. Well, I think that's good. I think we've done a great job talking about behavior shaping. Becky, did you want to?
I just thought it would be helpful. Good night. Just sum it up for us. Behavior shaping. Like, what's our takeaway?
So behavior shaping. If you want to use behavior shaping at home, start with behavior momentum. So do little small things that you know your student or your child is going to be able to do. Give them two or three little small tasks, and then hey, let's brush teeth. Hey, let's put the laundry in, and you're going to model that behavior. Show them what it looks like. Set the expectation for it. And then as they do close approximations, maybe they throw the clothes and the clothes didn't all get in the basket, but they got around the basket. We call that a close approximation. That's where you're going to reinforce that behavior verbally and give some praise around that. And then you just keep shaping that up. You're building on it the whole time. So that's behavior shaping.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
And hope this was helpful to everybody listening. And again, if you're part of the Vanguard community and want to talk more about this, reach out to us or your level therapist. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to Vanguard Unpacked. If you would like more information, please visit us at vanguardprepschool.com.